Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
Go. About to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. Been with this dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do fear? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era. Happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now?
Name change.
Of all the places.
And we're back. It's the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm your host, Tim, this week. Doug is out somewhere in like Iowa or Nebraska. He's learning about corn, but I got Tyler here with me. It's the end of week 15. There were some odd games, some odd fantasy scores. Some players that you rode all season just didn't bother to play. Some players that you rode all season played a couple snaps and then exited the game. So Tyler, how'd your week 15 turn out for you?
I don't want to jinx myself. I'm
do it.
I'm not superstitious.
Jinx it.
I'm just a little stitious.
Oh,
but
tiny stitious.
But I think I might walk away with a decent week. I have Todd Gurley going tomorrow. I have a lot of Kamara McCaffrey going in leagues. I actually have both going in a league where I should have it locked up tonight. So that could just be a little extra slap in the face to the guy I'm going against.
Now, here's another question. Let's say you're in a league that still has team defense, let's say, which
I have. Why? I have some.
Okay. So let's say you're in a league, you lock it up tonight, but you have one of the defenses tomorrow. Do you even bother? Do you just take them out?
No.
You let it ride.
You let that score get bumped up. I don't care.
You know how easy it is for a defense to go negative, though?
But, well, if you're that close, maybe. Yeah, that's a good strategy.
That's what I'm saying. You take a nice point and a half lead into Monday night, and you're like, you know, set these guys down.
But in a lot of leagues, you have to have...
You have to have
a full roster. And, I mean, for me, it's... I like having, in my leagues, the seasonal records up. Like, most points in a league in a year. I'm going for that in a league. And I think I'm only 300 behind, and I'm going for the record. Okay. And I have 200 right now tonight. So I need 100 next week to break it, which should be no problem in this league. And that's actually like, I said, if I lose, yeah, it sucks. But I'm going to destroy that total point record because it's just fun. It's fun to have that have your name up top. Like, there's still,
and you just mentioned about not jinxing yourself.
Well, it's just the total points I'm not nervous about. I'm nervous about the week, but the thing is this is a 12-year league. It's been in for 12 years, and having my name up top in 12 years,
a record like that.
It's just like that is gonna be up there, and then it's kind of like, oh, who's gonna beat that? Who is going to have a type of year like this? Where are they gonna touch it? Is it gonna get broken? It's just fun to have that kind of things, and I actually suggest people to do that. Have your on your homepage in MFL, put up some records like most points in a game, most points in a year by a franchise. Stuff like that just makes it a little bit more fun.
And just one more thing people can compete at instead of just the weekly matchups that they have. But speaking of some weekly matchups, there were some fun, some nerve-wracking games this week. I think Thursday kicked it off the right way. That Chargers comeback was a lot of fun to watch.
Phillip Rivers just showing he still has the manhood after having like 28 children.
I was just thinking about him the other day about how when like his first few years in the league, how it would just cut to him on the sideline and he looked like he was just ready to stab everybody. He was just pissed off all the time. Yep. He's brought that down just a little bit, but it's still inside. You can see it at times.
The beast
and like
is
he gets
inside.
Down by two scores and he's like, you know what? Urgh! And he hawks out and he just he has these awesome comebacks. So great for the Chargers. That was a fun
so
game.
I want to piggyback off that. I actually made a trade with in the UDPL, okay. And I made it with an incoming team, the Trade Addicts Pod, so Dynasty Outhouse.
Real quick, what is the UDPL?
The Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League. There's we have like Dynasty Life, Travis May, we have Tim Torch, who I'm going against right now to go to championship. We got Tim. We got Doug, who's going against Travis to play. Possibly me. I'm not going to jinx myself to possibly play me in the championship. And then, you know, like Rich, I think Rotobon, Trade Addicts. We have Shane from Dynasty Trades, who is just fun to have in the chat. Jeez. We got the Married to the Game guys. We got the Podfather himself. And Izzy, who just took over for God, I already forgot his name because he hasn't freaking hosted a podcast in forever.
It isn't your original partner, is it?
No, I'm talking about Jean-Paul Hurley. There it is.
Okay.
He's so forgettable because he hasn't hosted the dang pod in a while. Yeah, I said that, John, if you're listening.
Wow. John, I had to lean back in my chair on that. I'm sorry, buddy. Wow, he's taking shots.
No, I love you, John.
So that is a big boy league. Now, what trade did you just pull off of?
I don't know the pick side, but I know Zay Jones and Michael Gallup were in the trade, and I think I got the 301, and I gave like a fourth or something like that,
okay.
And I got back Mike Williams with the third. I bought super low.
Mike Williams?
I bought super low. I bought at the right time, and I swear I was sitting at work, and I was with the staff chat. I just said, Mike Williams is going to have a monster game. I'm like, I just have a weird feeling. This is before Keenan Allen was hurt. I'm just like, I just think he's going to go off. I don't know why. And then I go to my friends, and I'm like, "What?" I honestly thought going against Tim Torch in the championship, I thought Mike Evans has a bad matchup. I should swap those two out. But, you know, you don't do that in the championship week.
Yeah, you got to ride your yep. horses.
So I didn't, but I told my friends at work, I'm like, I might regret this choice. And, of course, he went off. That brings me back to my question. Mike Williams, after a huge game, where are you high on Mike Williams? Because I feel like he's just going to start get going. And if Keenan wasn't there, this guy could be a top 20 receiver easily.
I think what we saw out of Mike Williams on Thursday was the beginning of the road that Juju's been on now for a while. A solidified, absolute alpha number one. Keenan Allen is a fantastic receiver there, despite the fact for all of us that started him, it's not his fault. He got injured. That goose egg looks terrible. I have multiple lineups with that same goose egg you guys do, but don't blame Keenan. He is still this alpha. But we saw what Juju started to do is all the coverage was going to him over to AB. So Juju started to eat. I don't know what it was, or the offensive coordinators, or maybe it was Phillip Rivers just wasn't able or willing to trust him to this point yet, or he just has that great of a connection with Keenan that why even look elsewhere? But now it's going to force that hand. You saw what he can do.
He is
you
a monster.
You saw how he can run after the catch. You saw how he can run out of the backfield.
He's just huge. I mean, his arm length is incredible. He's 6'4". I think he's like 9'8" with his arms up in the air. I mean, he is huge. You look at him on the field, and he looks like a tight end, but has the speed and acceleration and explosiveness of a receiver.
I mean, I loved him as a prospect. I thought he was a very good prospect coming in the league. But yeah, the landing spot just wasn't that great because of the alpha that was there. But yeah, I think this kind of forces the Chargers hand a little bit. We have to start scheming more for him because it's going to just help Keenan Allen that much more. If there's a viable number two, defenses can't just completely game plan to take Keenan away. But talk about huge. Kelvin Benjamin, did you see that? You know, they have the little aerial, little drone looking thing.
Yeah.
When he's standing beside Tyreek Hill in the huddle.
Massive.
Whew, man, that's a big size difference. But I think that was just a nice first taste of what this week was. We had some exciting games here. I wanted to talk. I sent a tweet out right before we started about some players that maybe won you some matchups this week or possibly lost you some matchups this week. And it stinks to make it this far, you know, to get this deep into the playoffs, this deep into the season. And then you have one bad week, one bad start. You start Mike Evans over Mike Williams. And I mean, you could spend all offseason thinking that's the reason I lost. How many people are doing that though? How many people are starting Mike Williams over Mike Evans?
No, nobody.
You gotta ride
is.
The guys that got you here. So,
I mean, Mike Evans didn't have a bad game either, so you're not disappointed about that.
But if you had Keenan Allen, you weren't wrong to start Keenan Allen. No. Nobody saw that coming. You know, obviously Odell didn't even play. Keenan with his injury. Aaron Jones. I know. You know, I'm sure that one killed Doug. I know he tweeted that back at me. He's killed me in a couple lineups. I have Aaron Jones and Keenan line up together. And
Barkley, like, just...
done. Yes, that was a big one.
Barkley under 10 points in PPR, at least last I saw, is incredible. Like, that's been unheard of. If you sat there and told me at noon today, you know, today's Sunday, saying Barkley's going to get you under 10 points, I'd be like, you are freaking crazy.
You're insane, yeah.
Like, he's going to get that just in catching.
You would think. And for whatever reason, the Giants just didn't try to get anything going with him, it seemed like, today.
Yep. Ingram was a big
target. He carried
the ball
14 times. And yeah, Ingram ate today. 12 targets for him. Yeah, Saquon was a big one. I know tight end's been a mess all year, but people have been riding Austin Hooper. And, you know, bad injury at the wrong time. Jarvis Landry hurt some people. Lamar Miller hurt some. But let's talk about some of the people that you know, hopefully won some people some matchups. Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon had a big day. Looks great.
Yeah.
Looks great as a running back. Another player that I look forward to listening to the hype build this offseason. Yeah,
you, me, and Doug are all big on him. I think we should see him top 20 in dynasty rankings. I know on the blueprint, Ryan McDowell took him at 12 overall, and we all were like, that might be a little early, but maybe not. I mean, if he ends the year really good, we could be seeing Mixon top 15. In picks. Yeah, he's super young.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some offseason hype that builds with him. Damian Williams filled in nicely.
Don't touch.
Justin Jackson came in. Now, the Atlanta defense.
I want to talk about Damian Williams and how absurd that was. I like the team I talked about earlier, I'm dominating. My friend picks up Damian Williams, and I'm like, okay, you know, the other Williams should get some carries, and Charcandic West should. Nope. Not the case. In this league, he put up a 40-point game, and I'm sitting here like, okay, I should just walk away with this win easy, and now it's going to be difficult. And I was just, I saw somebody tweet, the fantasy playoffs are almost getting insane because of these injuries that happen, and then these random pickups that get you the wins and get you the titles. And it's true. I mean, I saw John Bosch, good friend of the podcast, John Bosch, talk about how he wants his leagues to do more of a total points. Like, the top six teams play each other week one, and the top four make it. And then from there, the top two total scores. And then from there,
he wants to do knockout rounds of points.
Kind of like Scott Fishbowl.
Head-to-head matchups. Because of these funky injuries, these guys that, you know, if you had Keenan Allen go down this week and he was on a roster, as long as you scored enough points with him the week before, you're still in contention. You're still in the running. This one bad off week isn't going to just necessarily knock you right out. But IDP, Darius Leonard. That guy.
A stud.
He leads the league in tackles as a rookie. The guy's amazing. They blanked Dallas, who has been on a crazy run lately. I mean, that offense has looked like they've hit another gear the past few weeks up until this week. Marlon Mack talking to the Colts.
P.S.
That guy
got some
was
huge news.
On a lot of people's benches, it seems.
Got some huge news.
Uh-oh, what's up?
Todd Gurley just suffered a knee injury in the Sunday night football game.
Listen. I have the Eagles banner behind me. Diehard Eagles fan. Everybody knows this. Please tell me you're joking.
I am not. He's on the sideline with his knee wrapped. So
he's on the side. Okay. They didn't card him off, though?
No.
Oh. Okay. So to Todd Gurley owners.
He's got enough points right now that you should be okay. But going into next week, if you make it, I mean, you better hope you have John Kelly on your team.
Yeah. This is exactly, though, what we were kind of talking about just a few weeks ago about if you have this guy, who's the guy that's next in line? Now, obviously, Damian Williams, I don't think anybody ever saw him as the next in line necessarily, but like a Justin Jackson.
Yep.
You know, we knew Austin Eckler was there. We didn't necessarily expect Austin Eckler to get hurt as well, but we knew, and plenty of people this offseason were high on Justin Jackson. So, you know, if you had a Melvin Gordon or your team, it was a smart move to go and pay an almost zero cost for a guy like Justin Jackson, because you're plugging him right in to that Melvin Gordon slot, and he's at least, he might not win you your week, but he's at least not killing you. He's helping you out. He's not, you know, 100% of what Melvin Gordon is, but he's 85-90% of it.
Yep.
That's good enough. And the last guy I wanted to bring up for helping people win weeks this week was Derrick Henry. We saw it for 2 weeks in a row up to this point. I know that first big blow-up game, very, very little start percentage. I want to say last week he was in like the mid-30 range for start percentage because, you know, everybody has that big week every once in a while, and not everybody was willing to believe it was going to happen. It was going to repeat, but it did. It did. He went nuts last week for sure. So I'll ask you, I mean, were you a believer that it was going to go 3 weeks in a row? Because I know I wasn't.
No, I actually had no faith that it was going to happen again.
Yeah.
I just, like, I think he pretty much, did he double his rushing it just in the past two games?
Yeah, in the past two games, he's doubled his season output thus far. So what, is this just Derrick Henry having fresh legs this late in the season, or is this something the Titans are doing differently? Like, what do you see here?
I think it's cold weather. I mean, the past couple games, you see the Giants, that game, it was pouring. It was a lot of rain. Yeah. It's cold.
Messy game.
It's a Derrick Henry game. And we saw this last year in the playoffs. Derrick Henry went off. And it's because it's colder. It's a running game. And it's old school NFL. It's what we all saw with like Jim Brown.
Okay, but if we're seeing this for 60 minutes in late November and throughout December, why aren't we seeing glimpses of this in September? Like, I mean, it's just not anywhere to be seen. September through October.
That's so true. And maybe Derrick Henry's Mr. December. I don't know.
Maybe.
But man, he looks unstoppable right now, but I'm not buying it. Like, we've seen this for how many years straight? If you are a fan of it, you're going to be paying out the rear end for it right now because...
Now, yeah.
His price went from a mid-second, maybe early second, to... A top first, I would say, even.
Yeah.
I mean, with the class the way it is, you want a running back that's dominating right now, I mean, you're going to have to pay. And I'm not for that.
A running back that's dominating that has the draft pedigree and that name attached to it. I mean, he was a big, big name coming out of college. he got the draft pedigree. The Titans took him early enough to maintain draft pedigree.
Yep.
And yeah, obviously he's had his issues, but all of a sudden, this is three straight weeks. This counts as a non-fluke anymore. He's producing at an extremely high level. So what do you do? If you're a Derrick Henry owner, what are you doing right now?
I am selling. And if I can, yeah. If I can get 105, 104, because you know what the picks are now. If you can get that mid to early first, I am okay with it. And I honestly think you could probably get more. You could probably get the 105 and maybe even a 301, a 212, just because.
I completely agree.
And it's the hype. Like you said, the name, the this guy is a monster if they carry this over. But warning, we've talked about this before.
We've all watched this movie. We've all read this book.
Yes.
We've seen the photos before. We know how the story ends.
The ring goes in the fire. Frodo gets saved.
I will say this. This time does feel a slight bit different to me, though. And I'll be honest. Last year when this started to happen, I fell back in love with Derrick Henry.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I purchased him in a couple spots. And then you go for all of offseason, the beginning of the season. I mean, when they signed Deion Lewis, so many people are just like, oh, my God. Oh, what do I do with Derrick Henry now? I just bought him a few weeks ago because he was ending the season hot. And now they go sign, you know, a running back like Deion Lewis to a big contract, I must add. But, yeah, I feel myself falling for him a little bit more, but I'm in the same exact boat as you. I'm going to sell him. I'm going to take that mid-first-round pick, hopefully couple it with the one or two other first-round picks I already have.
Yep.
And I'm either going to go after a current player I really like, or I'm going to just move up the board if I want.
Yeah, and you've been scouting players, and that's a little. I know we posted a live version of your scouting report.
Yes.
And
yes,
that is on Patreon, and you can actually go to patreon.com/DynastyHHpod. $2 will get you all of our extra pods. And it'll set you up for giveaways. We're going to start next year, 2019. We're going to start off with probably a Funko Pop, I think. Maybe nice. See who the stud champion. I don't think they have a Damian Williams Funko Pop yet. But maybe if they have a Lamar.
They might after today.
A Lamar Jackson one. Who knows? Like, we'll have that for a giveaway for the patrons. I know we have some, but we'd like more. We like questions. Yeah. We like talking, if you can't tell. So we would love to get you guys as a Patreon, get the extra episode.
Plus you get the discounts on our
that
merchandise.
That is true, 25% off.
And it's great merchandise to begin, you know, to start off with. Plus now you're getting the discount. And like Tyler said, you know, obviously we're going to talk about these incoming rookie classes on this pod. But if you want the in-depth stuff, that first look at some of this stuff weeks before we get to it, you know, on to some of these players on here, go over to the Patreon. It's a couple bucks a month. You're going to get that stuff right in there. And you get more access to the three of us than you do on this pod. You see the content over there. And like I said, when I opened this first scouting little pod I did, if there's a player you have an interest in and, you know, for whatever reason, you're too busy or you just want my opinion, Tyler's opinion, whoever, let us know that player and we'll specifically go and do our research on that specific player just for you.
Yep. You need our help. We'll be there.
Yeah. It's worth the price of admission, folks. So go check it out over there, Patreon.com/ Dynasty HH.
I honestly think that half the, like every single question that has been asked, we've answered within minutes because we get notifications right on the Patreon app. And I will look at it and I will reply. Tim has replied. Tim's asked questions himself. So, yeah, it's a great way to get plugged in with all of us.
That's for sure. So, I want to talk about another Titan here, Corey Davis. I mean, we've seen the highs. We've seen the lows. It's kind of been his career so far. What are you thinking with Corey Davis? What are you doing?
I honestly think I might sell based off name. And I know that may seem crazy. Maybe it's a little early. I know next year's his third year, but if you can get 101, maybe, like if you can start fresh, because I think with the whole waiting for the third year worries me, because you want to see the big jump year two. I mean, if they're not producing, like DJ Moore, he's showing a lot of flash. Year two, I'm expecting 1,000 yards, you know, so many touchdowns, him to be more of the focal point of the offense. I think with me, the year two, you need to show me like you're making the big boy jump.
Don't you need to take the quarterback's injury into account? You know, Mariota with his nerve damage.
And I think with that, he probably would be a 1,000-yard receiver right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I should take that into factor. But, man, like, are you a little worried? Or are you buying?
I am definitely concerned with it. But as of right now, my big home league, we're at the draft, at the live rookie draft last year, and the owner of Corey Davis just kind of mentions, you know, potentially selling. And I hounded him for 3 months. I don't know if he was joking or he just wanted to see how far someone would go. I hounded him for 3 months trying to get Corey Davis. He didn't give him up. So, Travis, if you're listening, I'm coming for him again. I'm buying right now.
I guess it's a good time to buy.
I don't think he's done anything to raise his price from what it was. I mean, he had two pretty large games this year. Everything else was, you know, that little up and down, little up and down. Very inconsistent. So overall, I don't think he's done anything to substantially raise his price. He's another year older, like you said. And let's remember, we got all these new shiny toys getting ready to come into the league that everybody's going to start getting hype on.
The Harry, the A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and if there is a strength of this class, at least from everything I've seen so far, it's at the wide receiver position almost more than anywhere else. But, so, you know, if I can offer up a mid-first-round pick, just like we talked about for Derrick Henry, I'll give up a mid-first-round pick for a Corey Davis, and I'll take it because this kid was an absolute stud in college. We've seen the flashes at the NFL level. We just need more consistency, and that can happen. You know, I don't know if Mariota's the guy. He's a quarterback that I just have not had a chance to really just solidify a feeling about him in this.
Him and Jameis, those two were like one of the most hyped quarterbacks coming out since Luck and Robert Griffin. And then it's just like so up and down. Like there'll be a 3-week stretch where both of them are just quarterback 1 and 2. These guys are franchise quarterbacks. By the way, Gurley is back in, so
whew. Okay.
But like franchise guys, these guys are studs. To all of a sudden, like these guys are Eli Manning, these guys are Blake Bortles. Are these guys replaceable? Who knows? I like both of them. I think both of them deserve to be in NFL. But are they going to get paid that Kirk Cousins $30 million a year? I could probably put $25 million a year on them. And be okay with it.
Just because of what the position is.
Yeah. You know? But man, it's tough.
You are 100% right. Especially Jameis. He's had these flashes in these games and these moments where he looks, you know, top tier quarterback skill level type of player. You know, hitting guys in stride on deep crossing routes, on deep post routes, on deep corner routes. And then the very next game, every third ball that leaves his hand, you're screaming, what is this? Who are you throwing that to? No, what are you doing?
I want to go to the game today. I thought he played quite well. Jameis, he went against a defense in Baltimore that is just outstanding. He had some short throws, a little Jameis problems. But I think since he's worn that visor, the helmet visor, I think he's played a lot better. Superstitious person in me, trends. You gotta look at any trend you can, and that is one of them. No, all joking aside, I do think Jameis has played his way into $28 million a year contract from Tampa Bay. I don't like Cutter. I think they need to get him out of there.
Here's the deal with both of them. If you move on from Jameis or Marcus Mariota, it's the same thing with like the Ravens getting rid of, you know, John Harbaugh. If you move on from one of those quarterbacks, who are you getting that's better?
Well, you got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
I didn't bring up Joe Flacco. I was talking about John Harbaugh as a coach. If you get rid of him as a coach, who are you hiring that's better than John Harbaugh? At least on paper. If you get rid of Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston, who are you going out there and getting that, at least on paper, is better?
I'd have to say everybody's looking for that new young offensive coach. Mm-hmm. Other than Lincoln Riley and maybe the guy, I forgot the other coach from Texas Tech. the offensive coordinator that got fired. He's supposed to go to USC. I forgot. It starts with a K. He is one of the bigger names for offensive guys. But other than that, you're not seeing it. You thought DeFilippo would be one of them. Nope, not it. Which, by the way, I want to talk about that a little bit. DeFilippo is he's been a good guy around the, you know, he's called offensive quite well. But the other guy, I forgot his name. It starts with an S, and it's funny. I don't know if you want to look it up for me. The new offensive
for the Vikings.
Yeah, okay, it starts with an S, but. Paul Allen up here, the radio commentary guy who is amazing, he's on the radio and all, is good friends with the guy and said he deserves a chance. He's been with the team for 13 years. He knows that team inside and out. He finally got his chance today, and oh, man. Like, I loved everything I saw. And Zimmer actually had him on the you can't touch, like, you can't go out for interviews for offensive coordinator. He blocked him. He said, no, you can't. And there's a reason why, because Zimmer liked him in the Vikings room, and it showed why today.
Kevin Stefanski?
Stefanski, yeah.
Stefanski. It's an interesting name.
Yeah, and he's, like I said, Paul Allen up here, he's pretty much the 54th player on the roster, is what the team always says. He absolutely loved
him. If you get his stamp of approval, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Huh? It's a huge deal when it comes to the Vikings. When Paul Allen likes a guy, this player might be good.
And he's made it through multiple head coaches.
Yeah, 13 years.
I mean, 13 years, that's a long tenure anywhere in this league. I mean, at any position, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the turnover rate at all positions, GM, head coach, player, in this league is crazy. So,
the special team coach for the Rams is probably the only other coach I've seen last forever.
I mean, he's good at his job, though.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give him that. But yeah, I think DeFilippo, you can't hate the guy for taking the opportunity. I mean, he rode the wave of winning the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. He got offered an offensive coordinator position.
I don't think it's him.
If someone offered me a job that maybe I was slightly qualified for, but probably not quite ready yet, but it's a huge promotion that pays a lot better. You know, I'm probably going to jump at the opportunity. I'm going to fake it until I make it. I'm going to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, and I don't think it was him, all him. I think Zimmer and him really butted heads
with what they wanted to do. Times.
And I do think that DeFilippo is probably going to catch on somewhere else. He'll be a good OC. And then, yeah, he'll probably get his chance again in a year
or two. What about reuniting with Frank Wright in Indianapolis?
Oh, my God.
They have a very similar offensive mind. Frank can just run the offense. And what they both did together with Philly last year was create the game plans for Doug Peterson for the offensive side of the ball.
It showed. Philly's offense is struggling lately. And it showed, the season, I should say. And it showed how big those two were. I mean, look at Frank Reich in Indy. Holy cow.
Yeah.
He's
done very well in the
thank you, Josh
city
McDaniels.
With a team.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's done very well in a city that so many people thought was going to struggle this year. But the Eagles situation shows, granted, they've had all kinds of injuries, but it shows not only do the players, you know, share such a huge aspect of how successful the team is, coaching really does matter. It really, I mean, ask the Patriots. Ask the Patriots if coaching matters.
Well, not
There's
today.
There's a reason
but...
why the Patriots are consistently just a wonderful team. But yeah, you take two major cogs that Doug Peterson can just lean on when it came to the offense and not have to really focus on all of those different things. He could just worry about going out there and being a head coach every week. And, you know, we see that. So yeah, I think Frank Wright's doing a great job in Indianapolis. And if I was John, I'd probably give Frankie a call. And say, hey, buddy.
If I was the Eagles, I'd be giving DeFilippo a call.
I would definitely be giving John a call myself. That was my first thought, is bring him home.
I mean,
bring him
home. They're playing well tonight on defense, but man, if I was them, I'd be calling him instantly, like Hugh Jackson style, and be like, hey, you didn't pack up yet, right? No, I'm still in my office in Minnesota. All right, take all that stuff. You're coming to Philly. We love you. We got cheesesteak.
We got a moving truck. It's actually about 3 blocks away right now. It'll be there to get all your stuff. So just get on the plane. We'll get your stuff here.
We got a cheesesteak waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be that. I would like that personally.
I would too, because I love Carson Wentz. I know. Actually, we should talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
His back injury. He has a stress fracture in his back. I know there's a lot of people panicking and talking like, oh, his career could be in trouble. I'm not too worried about it. I think Carson, I honestly think it's precautionary. They're out of the playoffs pretty much. And it's just, this is your franchise. He just came off an ACL and now he's got a back problem because he's been carrying the damn offense on his back all year. So, of course.
He sure has.
You're going to hurt your back carrying all other 10 players. But I think this is an amazing opportunity to buy in single quarterback, super flex. This could be biased because I absolutely love Carson Wentz. I think he is a all-out stud. What do you think about your guy, the Ginger Jesus, in Carson Wentz?
From what I've gathered about the back injury, it's accumulation type injury. Just hit after hit after hit, it builds up worse and worse and worse, and finally got to this point where, he woke up the day after that Cowboys game and was dealing with the back spasms.
Suck, by the way.
I probably took a bad hit.
Was that back spasms suck? They're so bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever had any your eyebrow, your arm, it's super super annoying. But imagine that happening in your back. That essentially controls all of your movement.
You can't really move. It kind of, your back or your body is pretty much telling you to not move any direction. You can't. I'm not going to let you move any direction. And if you do, it's going to hurt, and it's going to be annoying. Yeah. So.
It was one of those where it just kind of accumulated. But I saw a tweet the other day, and I wish I could find it. But I mean, Carson Wentz played at MVP level before tearing his ACL last year. And then this year, he was not on par with that, but he was doing very well.
Oh, yeah.
Completion percentage was down a little bit.
His turnovers were lower.
Touchdowns, his turnovers, yeah. He's putting up extremely good numbers all while having a back injury get worse and worse and worse every week to the point where it literally spasms out on him and he can't, essentially function. But I'm completely sold on Carson Wentz. I don't want to call myself a hater. I hated that move the Eagles
made.
I thought they gave up way too much to go after a quarterback in the first round, a D2 guy. All he's done is just prove me wrong week after week, game after game, touchdown after touchdown. I love the guy.
There's one thing I will always remember with you, and it's when I ranked Wentz at 10 in Dynasty beginning of last year, and you tore me apart on it. You were like,
This is crazy.
How could you? And you're like, man, I just don't know. And I'm like, oh, I remember always saying typical Philly fan being pessimistic. And look what happened.
It's honestly, it's a true story. Up until last year, all we've had is, you're going to sell us these magic beans and ain't nothing going to happen with them. And finally, that beanstalk grew. We climbed it. We grabbed ourselves a little trophy. We've come crashing back down to earth this year.
You didn't climb down.
Per Philly fashion.
You guys slipped off a leaf and fell.
Yeah. But we have ourselves a hell of a quarterback.
You guys would have you guys would have a lot more beer if you didn't keep throwing them at fans.
That's true. I'm sure they were at least half drank. we're not wasting
full
beers,
believe
me.
Nobody in their right mind would.
No. But, yeah, I'm a buyer, Carson Wentz, especially if you're in a league with somebody that all of a sudden decides, like, oh, my God, this could be a major team. It could be.
Yep.
But he's very young. The Eagles have a very good medical staff. There's some world-class medical facilities in and around that area. They're going to spare no expense to make sure he has the best care possible. And he's going to come back ready and able next year. But I did see somebody from the NFL Network tweeted, what if Nick Foles was it this whole time?
Oh my God.
What if he was the one?
The worst. Don't. The thing with Wentz's back injuries, people are going to bring Tony Romo into it and be like, oh, look at Romo. Look at his career. He was like 36, 37 years old when his back injury got to the point where he couldn't play anymore.
He's going to go. Yeah.
So Wentz is 25, 26 years old right now. I think we're okay.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I'm a Wentz buyer. That's for sure. especially in, you know, in the Superflex leagues where
oh, yeah.
that position just upgraded that much more. So if you get somebody in one of those leagues that is just scared of Carson Wentz at this point, go.
All right, let's do a little name game here. Carson Wentz dynasty. Who would you rather have, Mahomes or Wentz?
Mahomes.
Okay. Luck or Wentz?
I'll take Luck.
Okay. I'm around the same area. Aaron Rodgers or Wentz?
Wentz.
Okay. I do agree. I think Wentz is still top five. Yeah. I'm not too worried. Goff or Wentz?
Yeah. Wentz.
Okay. I'd say they're real close.
Look, I was a buyer of Goff last year, before last year, because I didn't see what's happening coming, but I believe that the Rams were at least headed in the right direction. He was going to increase in value, but I think he has an evil genius that talks into his ear every play.
Yep.
And that evil genius is a madman, and I love him. And so does Jared Goff. And I think without that madman in his ear, he's still good, but he's not as good. Yep.
No, I completely agree. I mean, we all know that they get until 15 seconds in the play clock to talk to their quarterback, and McVay calls audibles for him. Like, he's like, okay, call this. So, yeah, he's not Peyton Manning smart. He's got Peyton Manning in his ear pretty much, telling him what calls, what audibles.
Speaking of that, have you seen this new Peyton Manning series where Peyton like breaks down plays?
ESPN, you smart people, you. I do want to sign up for the ESPN Plus just to watch that.
If you were lucky enough to really sit down and watch the meat of Peyton Manning's career from, you know, early on, you know, led the league in turnovers his rookie year to just turning into this absolute animal with his arm talent to becoming one of the most cerebral quarterbacks pre-snap that the league has ever seen.
Ever.
This guy studied tape like nobody else that I personally know of. So for him to now sit down and study tape of current players and break down exactly what he sees, what he would do, where they maybe did something different that is A, successful, or B, not successful, and you know what, just give his thoughts and feelings. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. You're right, ESPN.
And
sons of guns.
One of my favorite podcasts to listen to is it's Pat McAfee's Pat McAfee Show 2.0, and he talks about Peyton Manning and how much power he had in that organization. How if Peyton Manning wanted Reggie Wayne off the team, like it would never happen because Reggie Wayne was so good.
Yeah, they were.
He legit said if Manning wanted Reggie Wayne off the team, it would happen. He would be gone. And
so he was LeBron before LeBron was.
Yeah,
LeBron.
And he even said, he's like, you know, there's only, I think, three people that could walk into Jim Irsay's office and be like, hey, we need to talk. And Irsay wouldn't get ticked off. Manning was one of them, and his daughters were the other. Like, that's how insane it was.
I mean, really, if you're the owner of a team and that style quarterback decides we're going to have a talk, guess what, Mr. Millionaire? You're probably sitting down to have a talk. So, yeah, that's crazy. I look forward to seeing some of these because, like I said, I mean, just knowing what he did, how he'd stand there behind the center and completely diagnose an entire defense, know exactly what you're going to do, who's going to blitz, what coverage you're in, where the holes in the zone were already at before he even snapped the ball.
Could you imagine playing defense against him? Like, we got him here. And all of a sudden he just switches up and you have no idea what he's switching to. You're like, oh crap. Like what now?
And who's bringing Omaha back? I was hearing that. Was it last night? Was I hearing Omaha?
Oh, it was Denver probably. Denver has kept it since Manning left. And
Keenum says it was yelling out at Omaha. I'm like, oh, get out of here with this Omaha. Yep.
No, they still keep it. I know maybe Omaha Steaks sponsors them, and you know, you just hear that. But
so every time they scream that out, they get an extra pack of steaks. Some ribeyes.
That's all I hear on podcasts now. Omaha Steaks sponsorships, like $50 for all this stuff. I am so tempted because they're so good.
Yeah. They're not bad. We had one of those people come by this summer, bought some Omaha steaks off them. They're not bad.
Yeah, except it looks
nothing like.
Yeah, when it's delivered, it comes in like a styrofoam box, and it looks like, you know, you're transporting organs, and all that stuff.
Nothing beats going to the local butcher, though.
Oh, that's true. We have some good.
You
get to
the butcher, you see him cut the meat right there in front of you. It's top notch. It's top notch. So anything else from this week in football you want to talk about?
No, I'm very nervous about my matchups. Thank God Todd Gurley's back because I have him. They haven't really run the ball with him from what I'm seeing, but they're throwing to him still. It'll be interesting to see if it's just maybe something little where it's just like a little tightness, a little stretch, a little pull, a little tug.
a little pull, a little tug. Well, for the Rams' sake, obviously they've had a fantastic season. Losing somebody like Gurley right now would be just completely devastating. Him and Goff both. Yeah, I mean, you just want to see this team stay healthy, see what they can actually do in the playoffs, you know? So for all you fantasy players out there, hopefully you didn't deal with the injury bug. Hopefully you didn't deal with, you know, just
breaking news. Setting the wrong guy. Also, from what I'm hearing from a friend, it could be a joke. Because he's trying to troll him. It's probably not true. It's Kamara's out. I think he's trolling somebody who he's going against. But that is also fun to see, is trolling in a league. I have not seen anything. I don't think it's real. So don't worry.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
No, nope, it's a joke. He just texted me because I said, that's such BS. Yeah. You got to love that stuff. Because in the playoffs, people mess with you so much. He's in a close matchup. And he's just like, yeah, it looks like Kamara's out. It, like, even with the video trash talk, do you ever use that on MFL?
Occasionally. I think I've used it a handful of times.
I've used it a couple of times. And I think if you get a league that really gets going with the video trash talk, oh, man, I want to be in that league. Because that would be awesome. Like, you see the league and how they send videos to each other.
You're talking the show back in the day. Yes. That was hilarious. And yes, they would send the videos, Rux in, talking about how he's just going to insert himself inside of you when he destroys you this week.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah.
And so what are you doing right now in your dynasty leagues that may have trading open or anything like that? Are you kind of surveying your team, like pre-making moves, seeing players that you are?
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple that still have that don't have the trades go away at all, no matter what time of the year it is. And so in those leagues every year, when it's decided if I am in or out, if I am in, I am looking for those owners that have Odell, have Keenan,
okay,
have one of these players that go down. And it's like, look, man, I'll make you a deal right now. You get a chance to hopefully win a title. I'm getting picks. I'm getting these young players I like. I'm going to take this. And we're gonna do a little bit of this power shift. I mean, you're obviously strong now. You can stay strong now. I'm building for the future. Give me these pieces to help me build for the future. And you'd be surprised at how much the opportunity to win right now affects these trades for some of these guys. You know, some of these guys they'll give it all up just for a shot at winning this one time.
Yeah.
So, if you were in the playoffs in a league like that. Unless you have, you know, multiple of these players go down, I would highly recommend you don't get crazy, you don't get nervous. If something bad happens and you're not supposed to win, it's just not your year, I guess. But don't go and sell off all your young assets, all your future picks, just for a mid-level player. If you had a Keenan go down, don't go out and buy a Corey Davis for everything you have, your entire taxi squad and your next 2 years' picks. For a Corey Davis, make smart moves still.
Make a low end move. Go for like a Josh Reynolds, somebody cheap. Maybe Robert Woods is probably the buy of the year, just because he's underappreciated, and he could be worth a late first. Like that,
he was underappreciated all of last year, and then they go out and they get Brandon Cooks this offseason, and so everybody just goes, oh, well, that was a 1 year thing for Robert Woods. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, and players you can go buy low on. I know, you go listen to the past two podcasts we had, our 32 buys of Christmas. We each gave a player for each team. And
it's actually 96.
That's true.
It's a lot of numbers.
Numbers, math, calculators, headaches. But, yeah, I mean, man, this is getting to the meat and potatoes of what we love in Dynasty, and it's the the pre-rookie draft. Like I said, Tim is coming out with some scouting portfolio type things. Our writers are already getting pumped. I know a ton of them. I popped in the question. I said, hey, you guys going to be involved again this year, just making sure if you guys still want to write. And everybody was like, hey, you know, the season's a grind. And I get it. The season is a grind. And like, if you're listening and if you do want to come write for us, just let me know. I love accepting and giving anybody a chance to write, anybody a chance to step in the foot of this amazing industry. It's fun. And we have a great group of writers, and I wouldn't change them for anybody. And yeah, it's just the in-season is such a grind because you're so worried about your teams. You got the holidays, and holidays are super busy for real life. But then comes January after New Year's, and it's just a new life hits you. And you're just like, I'm going to watch like 3 hours of college tape, just scouting players. And there's... the class looks a lot better than what I imagined.
Yeah. Yeah, just a few weeks ago, before a lot of these underclassmen started to declare, I had a lot of questions about them. And a few of these underclassmen that have declared, you know, now I've really started to dig into some of these upperclassmen that were, you know, already on their way out anyways. I'm starting to like more and more of these guys, that's for sure. So, yeah, this class is exciting. And like Tyler said, this is the time of year. I love setting lineups. I love the matchups. I love the best balls. I love all of it. But once the season's over and I can sit down and I just start digging in player after player, film after film, and really, you know, setting my opinion on what these guys are going to be for their career, guess what? I'm going to be wrong. We're all going to be wrong. We're all going to miss. But it's great when you find those guys, those gems, and you hit on them. So this is my favorite time of the year. So... we mentioned it. We're doing those scouting portfolios over there on the Patreon. That's where we're going to get to them first. We'll get to the rookies on this one as well, but just not, you know, probably as personally and as in depth. So if you want that sort of thing, come over to the Patreon. $2 a month to start. Donate more if you want. But check us out over there. That's for sure. And Merry Christmas, everybody. We're coming up on Christmas.
Yeah, and if you really want, get your league a trophy. I mean, the championship's coming up. Get your league a trophy. Go to trophysmack.com. Type in the code DHHRING. You still get a $60 ring for free. I know. I told my wife, there's a chance there could be 3 trophies in my house after week 16. And she was not excited. But, I mean, what better to have in your house after the Christmas tree is gone than multiple trophies?
You know what?
I mean, it's just a perfect replacement. TrophySmack.com. Type in DHH ring. Get yourself a free $60 ring. Keep it. Give it to the commish for doing a good job. Give it to a champion. And then start doing, hey, if you have to pass it off, you get a ring. If you're past champs, which we do in our league. And, I mean, there's tons of things you can do. There's tons of different trophy combinations you can do. Go there. Try them out. They're so fun to try out. And they're going to come out with new ones soon.
Yep.
TrophySmack.com, DHH ring at checkout. Get yourself a free ring.
All right, everybody. I think that's going to wrap us up this week. We look forward to seeing you in week 16. Happy championship week, everybody.
Good luck.